We're gonna start a series called The Journey of Faith. And we're actually going to go through a number of steps of faith that Abram took. We're going to go through steps of faith that Joseph took and the steps of faith that Paul took. We're going to look at those three, can I call them superstars of the scriptures? Anyway, you are all superstars too. But I saw a funny little comic. This is for Joe. What do you get when you cross an owl and a goat? You get a hootin' nanny. Now, for our young adults, the few that we have, I have an assignment for you, because this was actually on my heart for you, where Rebecca's at, and William, because we took our kids through it and more kids and went through the Faith Odyssey series. But what I'm want to plant in you guys is faith, because you got a lot of time ahead of you and you need to walk these things out in faith and need to understand what this is like, not only just for them but also for us. But I on the outline there is a fill in the blank, number of fill in the blanks. And you three are required to do that before you leave the door. I want you to show me your fill-in-the-blanks, okay? All right? So that I don't have to take you over here and do a separate Sunday school with you, so you can do it during the middle of the sermon, okay? All right, can I have an amen, please? And even you adults can be writing in that. So anyway, the journeys of faith, this is just amazing. You know, when we think about the word journey, journey is from point A to point B. We're going somewhere. We have direction. And the journey of faith gives us the right direction. How many of you know you can go the wrong direction? Yeah. And you know what? God's grace is on our wrong directions. It is all over our wrong directions, because he just wants to pick us up and say, now, wait a minute. Let's get back on track here. And so in this series, if you feel like you've had some wrong directions, there's a grace for that. Repent, move on, get on with it. When I think about journeys and odysseys, I think about the changes that go on in our journeys. Journeys are marked by many changes. I have a little bit of a bent towards not liking change. I thought Mary would for sure say amen on that one. I have a tendency to kind of be stuck, you know. I know what I know, but God likes to stretch us, right? And this journey that we're on, this journey of faith that we're on, he's going to use it to stretch us. And it's marked by many changes. So as we look at this, you know, we think about the young adults and younger than younger adults, but you know, think about the kids as they're going to grow up, the changes that are going to go on in their life. You think about in education, you know, I'm not in Sunday school anymore. I think about, I used to teach Sunday school, and now I'm teaching regular church. That's awesome. You know, your physical status, you know, where you've lived, you know, there's journey. And this whole life is about journey. It is really about the journey of faith. And I've made this statement many times before, but the quality of our life today is equal to the sum total of the decisions that we have made in the past. And the quality of our life tomorrow is going to be equal to the sum total of decisions that we make between now and then. And our quality of our level of faith is in the same realm as that. Because faith comes by, yeah. So as we hear, as we walk, we apply our faith. So the three I told you that we were going to look at was, of course, Abraham is called the father of our faith. Joseph is one of the greatest. Matter of fact, there are more chapters in the Old Testament on Joseph than any other person in the entire Bible. Amazing, the number of chapters. about his life. That's going to be fun to go through. But he's the type of Christ in the Old Testament. Now think about Paul, the great, great missionary. The journey of faith that he was on was amazing. And so, all right, so let's get rolling here. Number one, we're going to look at the first mention of faith. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, "And he," which would be Abram, "believed in the Lord." Can you put your name in there? Do you believe in the Lord? And do you believe the Lord, not just in him? And it was accounted for him to righteousness. It really started, really his faith didn't start in verse 6 of chapter 15, but it really started in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12 of Genesis. Now, this was before the law was given. Okay, we know that the law came after the time of Abram. So Abram's walk was a walk of faith, not a walk in the law. And there's a difference between the two. But in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it's not on your outline there. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." Now the Lord said to Ian, and the Lord said to Becca, and the Lord said to William, "I've got great plans for you. Plans to give you a great future and a great hope. Plans not to harm you. I have great plans for you." And you think about it, tomorrow's a long way off, but each day, "I have great plans for you." Hallelujah. So now, when the Lord had said to Abram, God has a voice, and we are capable of hearing it. That might not be for here, but all I know is this morning when we were on the way to church, Mary told me there were 10 watches on the Facebook message this morning. I about flipped out. Praise God, he's doing something. But what I'm saying is, now the Lord said to Abram, it's not the question of whether God is saying things, it's the question of whether we are listening or not. Are we open to hearing his voice? Amen? Now, this is what he said. "Leave your country, leave your family, and leave your father's household, and to a different land that I'm going to show you." Now, this was in the land of Ur. Ur, place of frustration, to Canaan, which was 1,000 miles away. Now, I figured it's probably 500 miles to Chicago from here, and wherever another 500 miles is. That's the distance that God was asking Abram to leave the land of Ur. Okay, to the promised land, 1,000 miles. Now, you don't just get on a plane. You don't get on a car. Get in a car, that type of thing. I mean, the way they moved was pretty challenging. And so, we want to understand verse 2. It says, "And I will make you a great nation." Can you imagine being an unbeliever, not knowing anything about Jehovah God, and all of a sudden this God speaks to you and says, "You're going to be a big guy. You're going to be a big gun," because he is the father of our faith. Hallelujah. Whew, that's pretty powerful. "And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." You know? Every one of you say after me, "I'm a blessing." Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Now, can you imagine after God spoke this to Abram, and he went up to Sarai, and he goes, "Hey, honey. I heard a voice." "Yeah, honey." "Well, what did that voice say?" "Well, we're moving." "Oh, we're moving. Where are we moving to?" "I don't know." "Well, when are we leaving?" "As soon as possible." "And what's the name of this voice?" "I don't know that name either, but we're doing it." Really? And we have trouble sometimes operating in faith? Come on. This is a great example of mega, mega, mega faith. Awesome. So, the most important thing about faith, as we go back off this story of Abram, is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It's in the negative realm written by the writer of Hebrews, but we can turn it around to the positive. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, it's possible to please God. See? By faith, we can please God. It's not by our works. It's by our faith in God. Let me say that one more time. It's not by works. It's by our faith in God, our faith and our trust in God, that we must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently once a year seek Him. Thank you. Somebody's listening. Yeah. Who diligently seek Him, who diligently pray, who diligently think about Him, who puts God first in their life. Yeah. Therefore, God is moved. How is God moved? He's moved by our faith. Okay? You got to fill in the blanks? Are you doing it, kids? I want to check it after work. Check it after work here. Fill in those blanks. If you don't have a pen, get one. Now, I think it's interesting in the New Testament, this is just some side information, is it the word faith is mentioned, I believe, 210 times in the New Testament, or the word believe, one or the other. But anyway, there's two books in the New Testament where it's mentioned 38 times. Any guesses to what those two books are? Just take a crack. Thank you very much. Bing! Ding, ding, ding. Romans was good. Another one. Hebrews, yes. Romans and Hebrews mention the word faith. We think about Romans as being a book of the law and stuff. It's really a book of faith because faith trumps the law, right? So I thought that was kind of interesting. So if you want to build your faith, read Romans and Hebrews, okay? All right, next thing, number four. Faith is mentioned three times in this one verse in the entire Bible. So three is kind of a significant number, don't you think? Anytime I see three in the scriptures, I'm kind of going, there must be something to this. So in Romans chapter 1, it says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith, faith, faith. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, because faith is the beginning. To faith, which is the expected end, by faith, because it's starting with faith, maintained by faith, and finished by faith. Okay, you got that? All that okay? That's how it works. So, in our journey of life, our journey of faith, faith comes by what? And hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is going to be stronger today because you've heard the Word. We've worshiped together. When you get up tomorrow morning or when you read the Word tonight, your faith is going to be stronger. Always going to be built up. He never wants us to decrease in faith. Hallelujah. But it's also a step-by-step procedure. When we think about Romans chapter procedure, I'll think of a different word. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. I love this. It says, the father of circumcision. Now, who was the father of circumcision? Abraham was the father of circumcision. Now, wait a minute. How can he be the father of the law and the father of faith in the same well? It does. It works because it's faith in the God of the circumcision. Circumcision was just a sign of the law. But the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, the ceremonial law, but also who walk in the steps of faith. Who are the steps of faith people? Come on, raise your hand. I'm the step of faith people. We are the steps of faith people, okay? Which our father Abraham did while yet not under the law. Now, I know this is a little theological, but hang in there with me, okay? because we need to understand the difference between the law and faith, especially with Abraham, because he is the father of our faith, even though he walked in the law that God asked him to walk in. So it's really important to understand that. All right. But I love the fact that it talks about the steps of faith. Faith, generally, the faith things that God asks us to do are generally by steps. Step one, step two, step three. When Mark was putting cars back together, he didn't start on step 10 to put it back together. He started on step one, and then two, and then three. And he did everything in methodical steps to make it work. We do that in our lives, right? I didn't put my outside shirt on before I put my T-shirt on. The first step was I put the T-shirt on. The second step was I put the outside shirt on. It's the same way with faith. We take these steps of faith. We need to do it by faith. When Joe was having the call to go where he went and live for 30-odd years, he didn't just jump on the plane the next day. There were steps he took to walk that out in faith, right? Okay. This church was not formed from one day to the next. It was a step of faith. Okay. And so our lives are that way too. What we're believing God for oftentimes takes steps of faith. And we want to be aware of that. And the last thing is for today is we get this introduction going. Hope you guys got those lines in because I'm going to check them. All right. Faith is measurable. And people, I know, I've had people look at me and go, what are you talking about, Jack? Well, look at this in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 20. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, this is about Abram, now dead. In other words, he was 90 years old when God said, you're going to have a baby. And when he was about yet 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God. You know, we have just got to hang on to the promises of God and not let go. I am not done yet. Neither are you. We're going to hold on to the promises of God, strong in our faith, giving glory to God. When you come into worship, jump into worship. Pour yourself out in worship. That was one of the keys that Abram had in his life to stay strong in faith, was to worship. Yeah. And at home, and in the car, or wherever you're at, keep your worship strong. And, you know, Jesus said that we can have no faith. Jesus said we can have weak faith, and Jesus said we can have strong faith. Faith can have different levels. What are you talking about, Jack? Okay, well, let's look at it. When Jesus walked on the water and the disciples were in the boat, you remember when they were afraid? Was it walking the water? Or was he in the front the sleeping boat? Thank you for correcting me on that. He was asleep in the boat. What's good, Jesus? Would you wake up? Help us! We're gonna die! And what did he get up and said? He said, "Where is your faith?" So if we're in the middle of a circumstance and we're crying out to God like that, maybe we've not taken the steps of faith, and maybe we haven't built ourselves up in faith enough. You know, that there are some responsibilities that we have to do in this whole thing, right? Kind of what we're after here, the steps of faith. So we can have no faith for a circumstance. Awful place to be, but it can happen. And what about little faith? That's when I think when Peter had a lot of faith to take the step out of the boat, but then halfway there, got his eyes off of the Lord, and Jesus said, you have little faith. Then we got the mega faith. We got the centurion, who wasn't even a cotton-picking Jew. Excuse me. That wouldn't mean just be disrespectful. Who wasn't even Jewish. A centurion who said, Jesus, don't even come to my house. Just say the word. Just speak to it. And my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, nobody in the entire land of Israel has that kind of faith. Let's have mega faith, because that word great is megas. It's also forgive me here for a second, the Gentile woman, was it the issue of blood? No. I've lost the other one. But anyway, it's not coming back to me. It probably will when I walk out the door. But we want to have that type of faith where it's unfeigned, which means untouched by the world. So as we broach this journey that we're on, this journey of faith, we want to remember that God is the author of our faith, and that we do not want to make faith something that it isn't. Faith is just a simple, basic trust in the Lord. But our mouth has to equal what we're believing God for. Well, that'll never happen. You ever said that? That'll never happen. Well, it won't. But if we say, that'll happen, that'll happen, that'll happen, this will happen, say it out loud. Yeah, things you want. Speak it forth. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I hope you got a little something out of that. We're gonna continue on. We've got a couple of weeks that we'll spend on Abram and Sarah, and what a blessing that is. Let's stand. In my closure here, I got three post-it notes. I just had to take notes during. I don't usually take notes during worship this heavily, but you know, here's a few nuggets to take home with you. Impossible's what God does. Are we going to have some impossibilities sometime before we die? Probably, yeah. Some things are going to come up. Impossible's what you do. I love that. I also thought about where is your more? If God is more than enough, what about your hopes and your dreams and your visions? Where's your more? If you have more, you're desiring more. Where is your more? Is it in the hand of the Lord that we trust in faith? Yeah. Where's your more? And then the third thing I wrote down was dead things coming back to life again. Dead dreams, dead visions, dead things that didn't happen. How many of you have ever been disappointed in the spiritual realm? Yeah. Yeah. A lot of us have. But you know, God is able to resurrect dead things and bring them back to life again. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that's over these words. We thank you for this journey of faith that we've started, Lord, in your word. I pray that each one of us, Lord, would have our faith would grow, would increase, would be stronger today than yesterday, but not as strong as it's going to be tomorrow. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, I just thank you for the spirit of healing, a break of spirit of infirmities over our families, over us and our families, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of prosperity, Lord, so we can give into the kingdom and send people around the world. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the strength. The joy of the Lord is sometimes my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, is our strength. And so we take that with us today. In Jesus' precious name we pray.